our grandfather, our dad, our grandmother, our mom, they might have given us good insight on how to live. The country was saturated with a Christian type culture anyway, where these things were taken for granted. That is no longer the case. You just had a person win a Euro contest, song contest, who was in a dress with long hair and makeup and a full beard. So times have changed. Things that weren't accepted before are being accepted now as we charge towards paganism. So we need to understand what the battle is. Now, you can pick Baphomet or Jesus. That's your choice. Now, we've been talking about how Christianity is not just a group that gets together to try and feel good. It's not a social club. It's not a card-playing club. We spoke about why we can't get the men to come into the church, because we've changed it into something that is not godly, and men are no longer welcome. We have tried to push the testosterone and the male leadership out of the church because we've gone away from the Word of God and we've gone into emotionalism. Everything is, play me a song that makes me feel good. Let me speak in some type of tongue. Let me get into something that is, one thing men don't want to do. They don't want to come into a building and just sing for an hour and dance like women. That's not the way we do things. Now, it doesn't mean we can't praise God. It doesn't mean we can't have emotional music and worship. But there is a balance. We need the Word of God. We need to give the men in the church marching orders again.
Amen.
We have the men thinking that we can just sit around and things are going to work out okay with our wives, with our children, with our families, and that is not the case. We are in a dangerous position. If there was ever a time that men needed to step up to protect their home, it is now, because they are coming for your family. Now, the way you do this is by the law of God. You're saved by grace through faith. That's wonderful. But then we don't just play church every week. We have to learn the Word, the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Amen.
How many of you with small children here today would like your son to bring you a girl home with a beautiful dress, well-done hair, and a full beard, and male genitalia? It's coming. If you have small children, it is coming. You need to know the Word. What are you going to stand on? Your opinion? The world's telling you you're wrong right now. We have to accept the transgender people. We have to accept the whole LGBT community. Now, we don't hate anyone here. I have had my life saved by a doctor who is a homosexual. And I appreciated that. And I loved him for it. But I would never approve his lifestyle. I have gay friends, gay family members. I love them very much. If they needed a blood transfusion tomorrow, or some type of bone marrow transplant, or even a kidney, if it put my life at risk, I would help them in doing it. I would never approve their lifestyle. Their lifestyle is a confusing lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of death. Why can't we be balanced? Why can't we just be men and women of God? Now, the way you know that that's wrong, we don't read in the New Testament that a female with male genitalia and a beard is wrong, but we have principles in the Old Testament that Jesus carried to the New. We are not to confuse things that God does not want confused. Now, I want to start off today with a letter by a very well-known pastor. His name is Dr. Erwin Lutzer, and he delivered a message entitled Understanding the Times Conference. This was from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm going to read it, and then we'll have a short commentary, and then we'll get into our Bibles. This is Dr. Lutzer speaking. Now, he's making a difference between the older generation of Christians and the younger, which we've been speaking about. This is the trouble, this is the rub. If you are 40 years old or younger, okay, so that's me and about half the church. There's the 40-40 split in America. If you are under 40, you probably belong to a group of evangelicals who basically see nothing wrong with same-sex marriage. They are more tolerant, saying that there may be other religions that lead you to God, so on and so forth. I say it humbly, they don't have much of a clue. Not everybody, of course, but many of them have no clue what the implications are or what the real issues are. They were reared by Will and Grace on television. They are obsessed with technology. Many young people, not the ones that are here today, by the way, they are the exception, but many young people are so narcissistic, they're in love with themselves. Yesterday I heard on the news that one kid took 200 selfies, 200 pictures of himself in a single day. I mean the whole technology world out there. So there are those who say we can't preach against homosexuality or mention Islam or anything because we want to win these people to Christ. And that's a barrier. So that we found is that the gospel and its implications are often dumbed down. Then you have a form of ecumenism that compromises the gospel. And then there's something else. And that is it's popular today to say God loves you, quote, unconditionally. Now, to the one who's sitting in the pew that's sleeping with his girlfriend, he says to himself, quote, I know exactly what that means. That means that it's okay for me to continue to sleep with my girlfriend because, after all, God loves me unconditionally. That's his job. That's who he is. You see, it used to be, and some of you who are older would remember this, that preachers used to preach against sin. And then when people knew that they couldn't live up to God's standard and they were aware of their sin, then grace was offered to them. Thank God for amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amen. Today, and we've said it here, grace is offered up front. Grace is offered to people when they don't even know they need it, and whether or not they really care as to whether or not they want it, because God loves you unconditionally. Not to put too fine a point on it, but there are several passages in Scripture in the Psalms where it says that God says, I am angry with the wicked every day. Certainly, God loves the elect, those who are saved, and he loved them, the Bible says, from the foundation of the world. But to throw that out there for everybody to hear, that God loves you unconditionally, is really to water down the seriousness of sin and the real understanding of grace. Because you cannot understand grace until you fully understand sin. And the better you understand sin, the better you will magnify grace. We don't have that today in our society. Now, great, this is Dr. Erwin Lutzer. I think he's about 74 years old right now. He's seen a lot, done a lot. He's very faithful. I love him very much. I don't deserve to carry the Bible that he carries. But I have a bone to pick with this article and with him. And this is it. And this is what the older generation has done to the younger generation. You've spoiled us even in the church. You see, Dr. Lutzer says, if you're under 40, you probably belong to a group of evangelicals who basically see nothing wrong with same-sex marriage. They are more tolerant, saying that there may be other religions that lead you to God, so on and so forth. He's too soft. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, or you believe there's some other God out there that can get you into heaven the same way Jesus did, you are not an evangelical, you are a heretic.
That's right.
You need to learn your Bible and be corrected. Let's stop being so soft.
Amen.
There was a time when Christians were considered atheists because they didn't worship the emperor. This is first century Rome. This is when the church was born. We were persecuted before. We were killed before. Why? Because we said Jesus Christ is king, not your Caesar. Now let's look at history. The cult of Roman emperors, living and dead, became the state religion throughout the empire, though it originated as a simple act of thankfulness for the peace and stability brought by Rome. Temples were erected in honor of Julius Caesar soon after his death, and to Augustus in his lifetime at Pergamum. This explains the reference to Satan's throne in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. In this city as elsewhere, the cult developed because local people wanted it, not in order to flatter the establishment, but out of genuine gratitude for the benefits brought by Rome and it was not felt to be a substitute for existing religions. Nevertheless, as the feelings of gratitude faded, the imperial cult became more and more a test of loyalty to the regime. The consequences was that the refusal to perform the outward rituals was bound to incur penalties. Both Jews and Christians were conscientiously unable to burn incense to any human being. Jews, after some initial persecution, got exemption from Claudius, but Christians suffered. But Christians suffered when the church's numbers expanded sufficiently to attract the state's hostile attention. Failure to give divine honors to the emperor or to swear by the genius of Caesar was not the only ground for persecution, but the anti-Christian writer Celsus, about 178 AD, warned Christians of the perils of their lack of civic sense and of their disloyalty to an empire from which they derived many material benefits. Ancient people loved Rome. Rome was the world power. They traded with everybody. They got iPhones from China. They got their computer tablets from Korea. They got their pornography from Thailand. They got all these exotic foods. They got their cars from Germany. It's just like today. Rome was bringing things into the empire. To your heart's content, if you had a little bit of cash in that time, you could live like a rock star. So the people loved the emperor. Most of them would burn incense to the emperor. But Christians refused. We cannot have Jesus as Lord and you as Lord. You see, you can't say, well, let's talk about religion but not politics. The gospel is political. Jesus Christ is Lord and King. That's how you make yourself an enemy of the world. Is because you're saying the God, the Son of God, is the true emperor. The only one with the right to have a nation in this world. And he's conquering. You think any leadership's going to be comfortable with this? Why do you think they're bulldozing churches in China? Because the Christians gain freedom. They don't want the one-child policy. They don't want their women dragged out of the home and forced to have an abortion because they have more than one child. They're adopting Christian principles. Why do you think they don't want Christianity in Africa? Because it brings freedom. It brings literacy. You got to read to understand this. It improves living conditions. Why do you think they don't want the gospel in India? Because the untouchables, the dog eaters, are going to gain freedom. See, Christianity is not equal to Hinduism. You have a Brahmin class, the warrior class, the merchants. You have the dog eaters on the bottom. When you're born into the dog eater family, you can never raise your living standard. It's forbidden. Here comes Christ and says, wait a minute. As we say in the neighborhood, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. If you love me and you follow this gospel, you can improve your spiritual conditions and your physical conditions if you honor me. This is revolution in that country. So Christians will defy the government when their law contradicts God's law. Not with guns and bombs and stupidity, but offering ourselves up as a sacrifice. This is how the slaves were freed in this country. You had ministers constantly preaching against slavery. It was a religious stand and a political stand. You cannot say you are a Christian and have a farm full of slaves. Amen. You are a hypocrite. You're a heretic. You're a man stealer. You inherited people that came from another land and basically kidnapped them, and you deserve the death penalty. So it's God's law or man's law. Man's law makes good slaves. And that's why we stand on the gospel. So we love Dr. Luther, and we love his message, but he's too soft, and it's the older generation that was too soft on their children. Let's all take responsibility. That as long as they showed up in church with a tie, whether they read the Bible or not, or whether you even taught them the inner parts of the Bible or not, they would say, poof, they're a Christian, just by sitting in the seat. So don't just blame those of us who are in our 40s and younger. We love and respect the older generation, but we need to do a better job on educating our children to let them know what Christianity is really about.
Amen.
And that's the battle today. You are facing an enemy that you have no idea how dangerous it is. Now, what we put on the board, and we'll get into it later, is we're discussing the confusion of God's law and man's law, God's standards and man's standards. And we are going to apply the Bible. This is not going to be some lecture, you know, where the pastor just tries to prove how smart they are, how wonderful they are, and then you go home with nothing. I am going to show you your world is being torn apart because this country has left the Word of God. And that's your future. 10-15 years from now, your boys will be approached by girls with beards. Guaranteed. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read verses 13 through 20.
Seven seventeen.
Amen. We're going to read verses 13 through 20. And this is related to the article. God's law does not allow for syncretism. Either you are part of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. If Jesus Christ is king, then you will honor his law and commandments. The most basic commandment for an evangelical is to only worship the Messiah who saved you by grace through faith alone. If you break this commandment, you are not an evangelical. So starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now the Son of Man is a title taken from the book of Daniel. And he's saying he is God. But he wants to test the apostles. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, the little rock. And upon this rock, the big rock, his confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Christ is Lord. This is the foundation of the faith. Whoever your king is, he makes the laws of the land, and you respect his law. You don't honor a king by breaking his laws. Whoever's in charge, they lay down the law. Now, we're going to have a comparison, and that's why I gave you the handout. We're going to read something that seems obscure in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. These are the things that we used to take for granted when we had somewhat of a Christian culture. And we're going to show how this egalitarianism, making everything equal, is destroying our nation and our whole civilization. Satan is statue, ready as hell, but no place to go. This is ABC News, their report. This is May 2nd, 2014. Satan is still no closer to putting it at Oklahoma State Capitol. A statue at the center of a dispute between Satanists and Oklahoma officials is nearing completion, but the Satanists are no closer to installing the monument at the Oklahoma State Capitol after months of planning. The New York-based, where else? The New York-based Satanic Temple has been campaigning to insert a 7-foot statue of Satan on the north steps of the Capitol since December, next to a Ten Commandments monument that was placed there in 2012. Officials in the conservative state, sometimes referred to as the buckle of the Bible Belt, have said the proposal is unlikely to be approved, with Oklahoma State Rep. Earl Sears calling the plan an insult to the good people of the state. The satanic group said it has no beef with the privately funded Ten Commandments statue, but argues it should not stand alone. The American Civil Liberties Union, on the other hand, sued to have the existing monument removed last year. This is the Ten Commandments, saying in a statement that its placement created a more divisive and hostile state for many Oklahomans and sends a strong message to Oklahomans of other faiths that are less than equal. Now, why bring this up? Because Satanists know what they're talking about when it comes to Satan. And if you go online and take a look, that statue is Baphomet, which I handed out to you. Now, remember, if all religions are equal, like the New Evangelicals are saying, then who are you to just put the Ten Commandments up, which represents a Judeo-Christian religion, and not put the Baphomet, and not put something dedicated to Muslims, and not put something dedicated to Hindus like Shiva or whatever else? So once you get into that dark place of everything being equal, your society is finished. Because there can only be one guiding principle for a society, and there can be only one king, Jesus Christ. You are going to confuse things into oblivion. And that's exactly what is happening. Now let's turn to Leviticus chapter 18. Oh, that's the Old Testament. What page is that Bible computer?
97.
Amen. Leviticus 18. Now these are things we took for granted. Not to sleep with a dog. For a woman not to have relations with a bird or a cat. These are things we took for granted. You can't take it for granted anymore. So we need to read it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, where ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. These countries, these nations, were perverted. Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him, to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father, or the nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. Now remember, in 1 Corinthians we had this sin, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The pagans didn't know any better. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. So much for child love movements. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife, to defile thyself with her. Boy, we need this one today. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. So much for the Bible not outlawing homosexual relationships. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomited out her inhabitants. Earthquakes, anybody? Tsunamis? Storms? You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep my ordinance, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. And just when you think you don't know these laws, a drag queen from Austria wins a national singing contest in Europe, and people are standing on their feet and clapping and applauding and approving the lifestyle. And you don't think God's word rings true? That this brings confusion? Listen to this garbage. The person's name who won the competition is Newark. Newark was born in Nürnberg, central Austria, entering show business 8 years ago, taking part in an Austrian TV talent show. After joining a boy band that quickly broke up, Newark first appeared as Verst in another Austrian talent show in 2011. She also took part in two reality shows, including one where candidates had to survive in the Namibian desert together with their native tribe. What is it, buddy? I'm from Brooklyn. What is it? Is it a he? Is it a she? How can you be in a boy band? And then she enters a competition. And this is what you're going to go through with your children. Moms, get ready in the schools. You're going to have bathrooms without labels on it. You're going to have boys dressed like girls walking in to see your daughters in the girls' bathroom. You're going to have girls dressed like boys walking in to see your boys in the boys' bathroom. And then all the litigation starts. Who assaulted who? Who was looking at who? Who insulted who? The foundations are destroyed. This is just the beginning. And this is not a doomsday sermon. If we educate ourselves, guess what? This lifestyle that these poor, deceived people are leading, if you abort all your kids, if you have relationships that don't produce kids, and if you're hell-bent on murder, your population eventually will be zero. If we love the Lord and fear Him and raise our children correctly and have lots of children and give them a Christian education and love ourselves as the family of God, we will grow. Amen. We don't need to fire a gun. We don't need to raise a sword. We don't need to be like some of these stupid Christian separatists planting bombs and other silliness. We win by population. God's law brings life. How many children is a couple of three married lesbians going to produce? Look, I'm no brain surgeon, you know, but I could do basic math, right? So just stay faithful and we win. This is not a message of desperation. This is just warning you of what's coming down the pipe. And a lot of churches aren't addressing this. They're not giving you a real defense from the Bible. What can you do as your children are in a society that there are no boundaries anymore? They'll just keep preaching that it's your best life now, but trust me, it's not going to be your best life now for too long. Especially when this is written into the law. They say, okay, Pastor, wait a minute. I'm a New Testament Christian. These things, these laws, these are from the Old Testament. The New Testament is unconditional love. There is no law. We're under grace. We're saved and then we live any way we want. Really? Mm-hmm. Really? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3.
8:76.
This is Paul speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy, a young pastor who is entering a culture just like ours. In the Corinthian church, you had a son sleeping with his mother, with his father's wife. And the people applauded it like he was under grace. Now, we're not saying who's a Christian and who's not, but we're going to tell you if you're out of your mind, and if you're claiming to be a Christian and living like a pagan, you have to change the way you're living. So this is Paul's words to Timothy, verses 3 to 11, the New Testament. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved has turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law or evangelicals, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. What? Law in the New Testament. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. Once again, there's nothing in the Bible against homosexuality. For men-stealers, your slave trade. For men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and that there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Do you understand this? Jesus has a gospel. The good news is, as wicked as you were, as wicked as I was, when you repent to come to Christ, you're clean. He saves you. But you're not saved to hang out. You're not saved to do nothing, and you're definitely not saved to be lawless. You honor your King by honoring His commandments. Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. My brother, am I loving you as my neighbor if I'm sleeping with your wife and molesting your children? You can answer me. I'm asking a question to men here. Am I loving you as my neighbor if I'm sleeping with your wife and molesting your children? How can you say that without the Word of God? You stand on the Word or you stand on nothing. You hear these silly people? It's funny. People aren't Christians, but they sure know how to question a Christian. Who are you to judge me? So what, I'm sleeping with your wife? She winked at me. So what, I'm molesting your children? They took the toys from me. Who are you to judge me? I'm under grace. I can do what I want. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. We stand on the Word. Amen. We have a King. We have a real nation that has law and rules to follow. You're not saved. You're not saved by following them, but you show that you're saved and you show your gratefulness by loving your King and the commandments He gave you and loving your neighbor.
Amen.
Ladies, somebody move next door to you. Say, oh, I'm a Christian too. Look, I got my devotional, it's like this big. Oh, and I got my woman's holy study, woman's Bible and all this stuff. The first thing she does when she comes over your house is give your husband the biggest kiss on the lips. Wait, she's a Christian. What are you going to do? Are you going to judge? Are you going to judge? Now, see, ladies are better than men because they let their hearts take over. You're going to pull that hair until there's no hair left in her head. But that's okay. That's an honest, visceral reaction. You're breaking God's law. You're breaking God's law in my home. How dare you do that? Only men are stupid enough to say things like, well, if a guy came into my house and he was going to take advantage of my wife, I couldn't get violent. I couldn't do anything. What Bible are you reading? That's all I want to know. What Bible are you reading? So the God of abominations, Baphomet, represents the overturning of God's order by mixing things forbidden to be mixed. The devil and his minions dream of causing the confusion God forbids in His Word. Now turn to that picture I gave you, and now you'll understand it. Symbols are very powerful. If you came to this church and we had a pentagram on the building, would you come in? If you see a cross on the building, will you come in?
Yes.
Symbols have power. What color is a can of Coca-Cola?
Red.
How do you know that? Because you've been conditioned. The symbol is still in your brain after the conditioning has taken place. What color is a can of Pepsi? What color is a pack of Wrigley Spearmint gum? Okay. So symbols mean something. They denote something. There's nothing wrong with the symbols. Our esoteric brothers and sisters use them all the time. So we're going to bring something out now. If you look at the picture of Baphomet, which you have, all this is a god of confusion. This is a god that says Christianity is equal with Hinduism, is equal with Islam, is equal with being an atheist, or whatever. All beliefs, all things are equal. And like we've said before, if you went and climbed a skyscraper, and in your heart, in your mind, you believe you could jump off that skyscraper and not die, does it make it truthful because you believe it? What's going to happen when you jump off the skyscraper? Because splat, decorations for the street. Right? News vans are going to pull up, take their pictures. It doesn't matter what you believe. It wasn't true. If you jump off a skyscraper, you die. If you don't have Jesus Christ as Lord, you're going to hell. Truth is truth.
Amen.
Now, this is confusing truth. Let's look at Baphomet. Now, you say, this is disgusting. How could a pastor hand out something like this? My children are here. Will you let them watch this stuff on TV? So Baphomet, first of all, is a confusion between the male and a female. It's a synthesis that can't take place. This is what happened on Eurovision. Right? The Bible come alive. There's a singing contest. We have a person who has male body parts, dressed like a woman with a beard, pretending to be a female. The article even addresses her as a she, and she wins the contest, and people applaud like nothing's wrong. Then we also have a confusion of the moon and the sun. A confusion of light and dark. We see a confusion of the angelic and the human. We see wings of an angel on this freak creature God. And we also see somewhat of a body of a man. So this symbol is about confusions. Confusing the female with the male. Confusing the moon and the sun. Darkness and light. And it goes on and on. The angelic and the human. The animal and the man. See, what this is telling you, it's okay to mix animals and men. And you say, wait a minute. No one's stupid enough to mix animals with men. Do you know what's going on in the laboratories all around this world right now? Now that we've completed the genome project, the type of engineering that they're doing, what pastors are going to have to confront, and what families and Christians are going to have to confront, and what lawyers and law institutions are going to have to confront within the next 10 years, what constitutes a human? If we create something that has part animal DNA and part human DNA, as we start to mix what shouldn't be mixed, how much human DNA does it need to be considered a human? Is it 50-50? Is it 60-40? Is it 70-30? What is it? This is the Bible applied. So what constitutes a human? They're mixing human DNA with pig DNA. They're mixing human DNA with goat DNA. You had a scientist from Japan say his dream is to create Mickey Mouse. He wants to have a mouse with a fully human brain that's able to speak like Mickey Mouse. That's his dream. So when do we get to the point where it's not human anymore and it's animal? Do you see Baphomet come alive in front of your eyes? This is an ancient religion. It comes from Satan himself. Do as thou wilt. Turn over the whole order of things till it stinks so bad, maybe the big guy in the sky will send a flood again. Maybe we'll make this place such a sick, perverted, distorted world. This man, this woman that he loved more than me, maybe we'll make it such a sick, twisted world. The only option would be destroying this place again. That's their goal. The devil hates humanity. He hates you. And it's coming alive. Now, you're not going to hear this on TBN. You're not going to hear this I'm not even going to mention his name. He's been picked on so much. But you're not going to hear this in a lot of evangelical circles. These are real issues. What's going to happen when you go to the store and the meat that you bought was produced with some human DNA? Are you accountable? Am I crazy? Wasn't there a problem with Pepsi? That when they were developing the taste for it, somehow, some way they were using, I believe it was cells or something was created from aborted fetuses? This is the Bible come alive. You can't take for granted your daddy's religion or your granddaddy's religion. It's over. Now it's time for the men in this generation to fight. Fight for your family. You really love your mother on Mother's Day? Fight for her. Fight for her grandchildren. Fight for the future.
Amen.
So we must return to teaching the whole counsel of God in our churches, which includes God's law. We must not participate in child abuse by letting the world educate our children. Mothers must fill the gap if fathers abdicate their responsibility to teach their children the Word of God. Daddy don't want to do it? He's too busy smoking pot, watching porn, and playing Xbox? You got to take out the Bible and show it to your children. You love your children, mothers? Before you feed them anything, before you clothe them, dress them with the Word of God. How can you send those innocent babies out there without warning them what's going on out there? How are they supposed to protect themselves? And that's why Christian parents will say, I raised these kids to be Christians, what did I do? Well, 1 hour a week in church listening to a sermon, and for the 10 minutes that the kids stay awake while the sermon's going on, is not going to match 6, 7, 8 hours of godless school where they're telling your kids there is no God. There are no rules. There is no law. Just do the way you feel. Whatever's in your heart, bring it out. They teach them the religion of Oprah every day. And then they go to junior high school and it gets worse. And then high school and it gets worse. And then college, it gets even worse. There's no God. Do what you want. They're teaching evolution. They're teaching abortion. And some pretty smart people buy into this stuff. You know who loved abortion? You know who loved evolution? Adolf Hitler. Loved it. We can get rid of these non-German people that are inferior. Especially as you get closer to the equator. We've got to get rid of these people. We've got to get rid of the Jews. We're allowed to do it because might makes right. Darwinism rules. I don't listen to Jesus. I don't got to feel bad for someone weaker than me. If you can't keep me from taking it, I'm going to take it. Isn't that the law of the streets right now? Isn't that why we got young men beating up women for iPhones and iPods? It's the law of the jungle again. So ladies, if the men aren't going to do it, God loves you just the same. You do it. The job of a mother first is to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ and His love and His compassion and His way of life to her children.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how nice the cookies are that you bake, although we love them. It doesn't matter how nice you help us fix up our room, although we love that too. It doesn't matter when once in a while you give us some mercy that maybe Dad wouldn't have gave us and we really like that. But you've got to bring the Word of God. Did this happen before? Well, let's look at 2 Timothy. This is our last piece of scripture we'll look at today. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right, here we go again. There's another letter from Paul instructing Timothy, who's a really nice young man. He's a little soft, so Paul has to toughen him up and tell him don't be afraid of people and gives him instruction. How did Timothy arrive at his faith? Who was it? Was it his father? Was it his grandfather?
Mother, you're it.
You sound like an elder. You know, you have all the answers. Let's read this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. This is Paul speaking. I thank God, whom I serve, from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. You think he loved Timothy? Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, because of who? which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So, a young pastor, recorded in Scripture, loved by God, loved and directed by Paul. We still read his letters for the last 2,000 years, these epistles he wrote to Timothy. The credit for keeping him grounded in the faith and instructing him from when he was a child goes to Grandma and to Mama. So ladies, like we said, the fathers aren't going to do it, you do it. Otherwise, what you're going to have, as I put in little quotations next to this, the drag queen article, you're going to have a mess on your hands. You got to protect these kids. It's not so easy anymore. I also gave you a definition of syncretism. It's a combining of different, often seemingly contradictory beliefs while melding practices of various schools of thought. Syncretism involves the merger and analogizing of several originally discrete traditions, especially in the theology and mythology of religion, thus asserting an underlying unity and allowing for an inclusive approach to other faiths. Sound familiar? Syncretism also occurs commonly in expression of arts and culture, known as eclecticism, as well as politics. Syncretic politics. You don't think that exists? You know what? I'm not voting for Obama. He's going to bring in that Obamacare. I'm going to vote for Romney. And I tell people, wait a minute. Before you vote for Romney, you're freewheeling Republican, right? Freedom, freedom, freedom. He already has Romney care that he developed for Massachusetts. So what are you blaming Obama for? They used the Romney blueprint to bring this disaster called Obamacare. Syncretism. You vote Democrat, you vote Republican, you still get garbage out of it anyway. Neighborhood doesn't change. Your pocketbook doesn't change. If anything, you just lose money from year to year. We're starting to learn now. There's no real separation. So this is a scheme of the devil in all facets of life. So to the moms, happy Mother's Day. God bless you. Choose Jesus, not Baphomet. Read your Bible. Do not listen to people. Read your Bible. Especially do not trust a minister like myself. Go home and look at what I said. It's your job. It's your soul. It's between you and God. Amen. Go home. Look this up. I wouldn't look up these things before you eat lunch, but. So let us pray and then enjoy the rest of our day of rest. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, that we have your spirit and still in this country, that you have men and women who know what's right from the word, who will not surrender, who will not give up children to Baphomet or Satan to be abused or to be mutilated. We know, Lord, that you still have people that love you, and it doesn't matter how large or how small the number is, the battle is yours. And if we have faith in you, when we face the giants, we can cut their head off and rout their armies. There is no reason, Lord, if we're with you, to back down, and we know this. It's time to stand up for you, for your son, and for your holy name. And we pray, Lord, that you protect us and our families until we meet again next week as your children and your family. And we pray, Lord, that the love we have for you will be matched by the love that we have and show for one another. And we pray in the name of the only King and Emperor, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.